welcome to episode number 29 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today on this episode, we are going to talk about adenosine deaminase deficiency. We'll see if I pronounce that right. How to keep yourself positive in tough times and how viruses enter the cell.
All right, I thought it'd be interesting to keep going on the immunodeficiencies. So picture this. You have an infant come into your office or your ER or whatever, and they haven't really grown much. They have what we call failure to thrive. They haven't developed the way they're supposed to. They have chronic diarrhea. They have thrush. And they're always seeming to get sick with infections, both viral and bacterial. I mean, they're getting sick with what we call opportunistic infections. What do they have? Well, that's a common scenario of an immunodeficiency, and in particular, the one that those symptoms would be adenosine deaminase deficiency, which sounds really, really fancy, but it's not that hard once you break it down. Adenosine deaminase deficiency is also one of my favorite diseases just because of the name. It sounds super scientific and you sound really, really smart when you say it. Okay, so what is adenosine deaminase deficiency? It's the most common cause of SCID, which we call severe combined immunodeficiency, or it is the second most common cause of SCID. It just kind of depends on who you ask. So what is SCID? Oh, SCID is a bunch of different syndromes that all kind of look the same. So what I described as far as that infant goes. And essentially, it's a defect of both the humoral and cell-mediated immunity. So if you don't remember, our immune system basically has two big branches, one that is essentially B-cell and one that is essentially T-cell regulated. So the two different kinds of lymphocytes. And that's humoral and cell-mediated immunity. So what we're saying is the major branches of the immune system, like the main response that you have to keep yourself from getting sick, both of those are defective with SCID. And again, SCID is severe combined immunodeficiency. So I think the name of that kind of makes sense then. Adenosine deaminase deficiency is again, the most common or second most common version of SCID. But adenosine deaminase itself is an enzyme, and it helps us break down adenosine from our food. If you remember, adenosine is what we use for DNA. It's the A when we talk about, you know, T matching up with A and G matching up with C. It's also something that we use for energy. It's the A in ATP. ATP stands for adenosine triphosphate, and as we talked, ATP is like the Bitcoin of energy in our bodies. So when you have an adenosine deaminase deficiency, you're not able to break down adenosine, essentially. And that actually leads to a buildup of ATP, that energy. ATP, in turn, inhibits something called ribonucleotide reductase. I know this probably feels like it's getting a little deep already. So the buildup of ATP inhibits ribonucleotide reductase. Ribonucleotide reductase's job is to turn AMP into DAMP so that we can use it for DNA. So let's go through that a little bit slower. We'll start. Ribonucleotide reductase is an enzyme that turns AMP, which is just adenosine monophosphate. So it's ATP, but instead of three phosphates, it only has one. And typically, that's what we have to turn into DAMP, which is just deoxylated, basically turning it into the version that we can use for DNA. And then ribonucleotide reductase, its job is to turn it into AMP, into DAMP, so we can use it for DNA. So the point is that we can't do that, which means we have a lack of DNA material. Like the actual stuff that we build DNA out of, we're short all of it. And what we end up being short of specifically is T cells and B cells, because we simply don't have the raw materials to build them, which is kind of a crazy idea if you think about it that way. One of the interesting things that this leads to is a thymus that's so small you can't see it on an X-ray. And when we do biopsies of lymph nodes, we can't find the B and T. So there's a germinal center where B and T cells are made. We can't find them. And without a bone marrow transplant, SCID, SCID or severe combined immunodeficiency, SCID, SCID infants will die within the first year of life. And this actually requires ongoing enzyme replacement therapy. So it's a big deal to be working with SCID. And specifically, we talked about the most common cause, or the second most common cause, depending on who you talk to, adenosine deaminase deficiency, which helps us break down adenosine deaminase, helps us break down ATP. Since we can't do that, we have a buildup of ATP, which inhibits ribonucleotide reductase. Ribonucleotide reductase can't turn AMP into DMP, so we have a lack of DNA material, which leads us to a lack of T cells and B cells getting made. And that is how we have the combined immunodeficiency. Both the humoral and cell-mediated immunity are not able to function.
Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. All right. So today I am going to be talking about how to keep yourself positive in tough times. I am not always the best at this, I am going to freely admit. And so, but I think sometimes when you are not very good at something, you do a lot more research for it. And so you learn a little bit more, a few more tricks. Like if it was something that you naturally are good at, then you don't have to learn about it and you don't have to quantify. You don't have to make lists. You don't have to make yourself reminders. If you are someone that does need it, then you will do those things, right? I mean, just like anything else. Like if you are not a naturally tidy person, you are going to intentionally go through and give yourself checklists and give yourself reminders on how to be able to do those things. Because, you know, you're a grown-ass woman and you have to be able to keep yourself positive sometimes yourself, right? So something that I like to think about a lot, and something that we actually use as our family, like, mascot or motto is be the buffalo. And so the story behind that is they say that if a buffalo is on the wide open prairie and they see a storm hurtling across it, that they don't run away from the storm. They don't hunker down and let the storm pass. That what they do is that they run directly into the storm, because they know that's how the storm gets done the quickest, which is true. And I love that visual of being like, yep, the storm's coming at me and I'm going to come right at it, and then it'll get done, and we'll all be stronger for it. And so I like that. And I actually have a buffalo tattooed on my foot, and Micah has one tattooed on his ankle, because we like the idea of trying to walk like the buffalo, walking into adversity when we need to. So that puts me to my first thing. If I'm having a tough time, I talk to Micah, because he's the person that I'm okay with the most feeling vulnerable around. This next one is sometimes a healthy choice and sometimes not a healthy choice. I keep myself busy. If I know that things are going wrong in other places in my life, I will keep myself busy and keep myself distracted, and keep myself working hard. And sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen. Sometimes that's a little bit like running away from your problems. So making sure that you're holding yourself accountable, keeping yourself in check for that. Sometimes when I am a less good version of myself, I do what I like to call the compost pile method of conflict resolution, that if you walk away from a problem for long enough, the belief is that it will break down and turn into nutrient rich soil. And honestly, sometimes it does. You know, if I'm just like freaking out for no good reason, or if I'm upset about something that if I think that I'm actually mad about this one thing, but it's really just me reacting to something completely different, yeah, then those things do go away if you walk away from them. Other times they start smelling like shit. So, making sure you're knowing yourself well enough to be able to hold yourself accountable for your own shenanigans. I notice also, I come by it pretty honestly. I notice that I tend to have a harder time when I feel like I am not in control. And I maybe have a few control issues where I like to be in control of a lot of things. Maybe this is why I do theater and why I direct plays, where I get to choose the world and I get to choose where the light is and I get to choose exactly where everybody stands, or I get to choose everything. I get to choose what it sounds like. I get to choose, you know, a lot. So maybe I am, a few things in my life are about control. But noting that when I don't feel like I am in control and the world is happening around me and I am not an active participant, that is when I find myself getting down and getting anxious. And so, like, for example, we found out pretty recently that Micah is getting a shorter period of time off for the birth of our child than we were anticipating. And so, we're going to have to schedule that time a little bit more delicately. And as many people know, babies don't always come on time and they don't always arrive on schedule. And I think they probably do that to prepare you for the rest of your life. So I think that being a mother is probably going to be very good for my control issues. I don't know how good it was for my mother's, but you know, whatever. And so knowing that was a potential that wasn't going to happen and feeling really like I wasn't in control of it. And it was something that I was upset about anyway, you know, the possibility that he wasn't going to be there, and, you know, and the very real knowledge that he won't be there for a lot of this kid's first, like when this kid first rolls over and when this kid first starts crawling and, you know, all of that stuff, that he won't be there. And so and being really afraid of the prospect that I wasn't, going to have him potentially, that there was the potential that he wasn't going to be there for the actual birth process and my labor and me not knowing what I'm doing and all that stuff. So I was kind of flipping out about that. And so I decided, you know what? There is a person in the world that has a job that is to do that. And so I'm going to take charge and I'm going to hire myself a doula, which I did. And I'm super excited. I think she's awesome. And it's really nice that she is a non-biased person. And I suppose, if there is bias, it's towards me, which is really great. And so that's a small way that I can control a situation that I otherwise wouldn't have felt like I've had much control over. So that's nice. And then another thing that I do when I feel negatively is I think about future moments that are going to be super awesome, you know? So thinking about future plans that we have together, thinking about, times that we are going to be together, what this sacrifice is going to look like for the future of our family, what this sacrifice is going to look like for what we get to do for our community as well. And I think that is always really helpful. Maybe not always, like, you know, if I'm like really upset and crying or whatever, like that's maybe not like that thing that I need to think about. That's a maybe call Micah and talk to him moment. And let's also be super honest. I've got all sorts of pregnancy hormones going on in the system right now. And so, me freaking out is unfortunately a little bit more common than it tends to be. So, and last, but certainly not least, is trying to build myself a network and of people and support. It's very fortunate that it's so fortunate that I live with his parents and they're such awesome people. And my folks are super close. I don't have much of a friend network in this area, but I'm working on it. I've got coffee with a person that I kind of almost know on Tuesday. So like just keeping to try to expand that and becoming involved, which is one of the downsides of keeping myself busy and making sure that I'm constantly working, is that I don't have time to like build friendships right now. So, but something that I'm working on cultivating and hopefully like, being able to do so with like new mom groups and things like that. Hopefully I'll be able to meet people that way too. So making sure that I know that myself as an extrovert needs those things. So yeah, those are some of the things that I do. I don't know if any of that's helpful for anybody else, but sometimes it's important for me to verbalize it. So that's all I got. Thanks. We launched her Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
All right, this is going to be another fairly short one, but I'm kind of setting us up for talking more about viruses later on. We're going to talk about how viruses enter the cell. So viruses, they're essentially just little pieces of RNA and DNA, right? Just these little clips of genetic material that are floating around. And they have a capsid that goes around them, and some of them are enveloped and have a like a kind of like a similar to a cell membrane that go around them. But these little pieces of genetic material, they float around and then they go inside of a cell, and then that RNA or DNA starts getting used, and that's what will screw up your cell, whatever it's infecting. So how do they actually get into the cell then? Well, there's two major ways. First, the virus attaches to receptors on the cell membrane. And then the envelope that I talked about, that it's kind of like a cell membrane, the envelope of the virus actually fuses with the plasma membrane, and it essentially releases the capsid directly into the cell. You can kind of think of it as like pushing a bleb in. And then once it gets inside, there's a nucleic acid. That's the genetic material. It has a protein coat, and it takes off its coat, and then it starts getting implemented into the DNA and RNA. Whether it's DNA or RNA, it starts getting coded and making proteins. The second is that the virus attaches to the membrane and is then taken in by endocytosis. If you remember, endocytosis is how normally we talked about endocytosis with like macrophages doing phagocytosis, but it's essentially how a cell will surround an object, and then the membrane, once it touches itself again as it surrounds, it'll reabsorb into itself, and it takes it in as like this little floating vesicle or balloon of its own membrane inside of it. So that's what it'll do to this virus. It'll endocytose it, and it takes in the virus along with its capsule and everything, and it forms a vesicle, so its own little little balloon or whatever floating inside of the cell. From there, the virus then fuses with the plasma membrane of the vesicle and is then released. So those are enveloped naked viruses, which have no envelope, they don't have that cell membrane type thing around it, are usually taken in this way. Oh, sorry, let me rephrase that. Naked viruses are usually taken in the second way, since it has no envelope to fuse with the membrane. I said that a little weird. So the one where the virus attaches to the receptors on the cell membrane and then the envelope fuses, obviously that has to be enveloped because we just talked about the envelope fusing. The second one was more for the naked viruses where it forms the vesicle and then it gets released from that vesicle. So real short, kind of a nutshell thing, but that's how viruses enter into the cell. So why is this important? You'll find out in the future.
All right, there you have it. That was episode 29 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today on this episode, we talked about adenosine deaminase deficiency, how to keep yourself positive in tough times, and how viruses enter the cell. Our theme music, Urbana Matronica Wuya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.